William and Kate Middleton are expecting an heir to the British throne. The pregnancy, though, has forced the Duchess to seek medical attention.
The unfortunate news is that Kate is feeling so poorly that she's suffering from this severe morning sickness.
NBC's Michelle Kaczynski reports from London that the palace is refusing to give daily updates on Princess Kate's condition. This is NBC News Radio. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet says it's looking into Iranian claims of a captured drone. The claim was made by Iran's state TV, which said that the country captured the U.S. drone after it entered Iranian airspace. Several influential Egyptian newspapers have suspended publication. It's in protest of what many journalists see as restrictions on the freedom of expression in a draft constitution adopted by an Islamist-led panel. It comes as opponents of President Mohamed Morsi's plan a massive rally outside his Cairo palace. There were near-record highs for much of the nation on Monday. NBC meteorologist Bill Caron says a cold front is pushing across the Rockies and northern plains, but warm weather will continue for most of the U.S.
Everywhere from Texas through southern Ohio Valley all the way to the East Coast, you're still going to have one more exceptionally warm day ahead of this front.
The mercury climbed to 70 in Chicago yesterday. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the Internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
Teen retailer Wet Seal is facing an accusation of race discrimination. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says the chain created a hostile work environment for an African-American store manager in Pennsylvania. A three-year investigation found evidence of those running Wet Seal declaring that to be profitable, it must retain workers with what it calls the Armani look, meaning thin, blonde hair, blue eyes. Life Care Centers, a national chain of nursing facilities, is being accused of defrauding Medicare. In a formal complaint, the Inspector General and the U.S. Health Department say Life Care overbilled Medicare for at least millions of dollars by pressuring therapists to perform unnecessary and expensive treatments. The government says Medicare likely loses about $1.5 billion a year to overbilling by skilled nursing facilities. European stock markets are modestly higher so far. Japan's Nikkei slipped 0.25%. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 1 point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender license.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, the fourth day of December 2012. I hope you are all well as we punch in for another First Shift shift. That's right, First Shift shift. Pleasure to be with you this morning. We've got quite an agenda, lots to get to. I wish we had a ton of good news. We don't. By the way, Tom in Detroit, who calls almost every morning, delivers a good message, has been hailing the great work of Dan Gilbert, Quicken Loans owner. He's bought another building in Detroit, continues to make an investment in the city. And so when Tom calls to congratulate Tom Gilbert and those, or Dan Gilbert and those like him, well, he has a reason to do that. It's good to see that people are taking advantage of great real estate deals right now and investing in a city that's desperate for a little sanity. But we'll come back to that in short order. Okay, what do we have going on today? Good stuff. Good stuff in that it's good information, not all good news. Jane Zender Merrill will join us. She is the director of Kids Count in Michigan, which is a part of the Michigan League for Public Policy. Yes, they have become quite regular visitors to this show. There's a new study out with regard to employment among those 16 to 24 years old. Again, I wish that I had some good news for you. We'll work through that information. 7:35, Karen O'Brien joins us. Karen is the executive director of the Michigan Recycling Coalition. As we do our monthly segment with the Michigan Environmental Council, we'll check in with Karen O'Brien as Governor Snyder, in a recent special message on the energy and the environment, talked a bit about recycling. Zach Pohl, the executive director of Progress Michigan, joins us just after 8 o'clock. We'll be talking about Right to Work for Less and perhaps the fiscal cliff. Author Tom Paukin, for those of you that claim I don't do Republicans, doesn't get any more Republican than author Tom Paukin, a former Ronald Reagan administration official and author of the book Bringing America Home. About the only thing he and I have in common is we speak the English language, but we'll talk to him about conservatism and ask the question, is it dead? I know he's no fan of liberalism, so should be an interesting conversation. Mayor Dane Walling joins us, the mayor of the city of Flint. There is a 765-member organization, Mayors Against Illegal Guns. He'll be joining us to talk about a nationwide effort to make sure that our gun laws are not loosened as communities continue to suffer through some dire crime statistics. We'll get with Mayor Walling at 9:05. And then at 9:35, my friend, the former owner of AJ's Music Cafe in Ferndale, has taken up residence in Highland Park, and he is doing something that is absolutely wonderful. As many of you know, in Highland Park, they've turned the streetlights off. AJ has a plan, and it's working. In fact, we'll find out from him today if the first streetlight is up. Well, how are they going to pay for that one? Well, through donations. But the best part is they are solar streetlights, ergo do not require to be plugged into the electrical grid. So there is a little good news coming our way a little bit later on in the morning. With all that said, let's get this going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word this morning is achievement. Achievement, you know, to achieve something, to earn it. Well, that's interesting because sometimes you achieve things without earning them. I'm not a big believer in luck. I don't think anything just happens poof like that. Well, maybe winning the lottery. There are exceptions to every rule, right? But achievement, I would like to think, and just my philosophy here, it's my show, it's my first word. Achievement really is a collection of actions that once a goal is set, gets you to that goal or close to that goal. And we can often achieve something without it being the perfect rendition of what we were pursuing. You know, sometimes the journey is the actual achievement. I think oftentimes we're so hard on ourselves that success, however you want to define success, if it's not reached in its perfect form, we feel like we failed, when indeed if we were to take a step back, we've achieved a great deal. The experience sometimes is an achievement, even if you don't necessarily attain the actual goal. Achievement is really about hard work. It is about vision. It is about, you know, thinking outside the box. It is about going from where you're at to where you want to be, or closer to where you want to be. I think we need to lighten up a little bit and not be so hard on ourselves as we look at achievement in a more realistic way. We may find that we're achieving so much more than we ever thought we were. We were just placing the wrong focus on what achievement looks like. Put it in the proper light, in the proper perspective, and achievement can be something that is wholly great and something to be celebrated, or something that is quietly profound that made a difference. Either way, achievement is good. Now, I'd said there are exceptions. Sometimes you can achieve things for the worst possible good, and we're mindful of that, but why turn this into something negative when it neither doesn't have to be negative, nor should it be negative? Ladies and gentlemen, truly setting your sights on something, working toward it, getting close or getting there is achievement. You don't need a plaque. You don't need a certificate. You don't even need a pat on the back. Just the recognition should be enough. And today's first word is achievement.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they cut Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
Absolutely. We welcome back Anthony on this early Tuesday morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. We finally got some good news to talk about.
Yeah, speaking of achievement, the Detroit Pistons achieved something that they haven't done a lot of this year, and that would be a victory.
Yep, fifth in a row at home.
Wow, that's a nice start. That's a nice start. I don't know. You know, we talked about this the other day. I mean, they get trounced one day, they win the next day. You know, I realize it takes a while for a team to gel, and they certainly have their challenges. But I don't know. It's still way too early in the year to tell what we've got here. I certainly don't think we have a playoff team. But as long as they can show some progress and be competitive, I don't know that you can, at this point, ask for a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, it was good to beat a team we should beat in Cleveland. But, you know, over the weekend, we did get beat pretty well. But we did face, like, two of the top 10 teams in the league in Memphis and Dallas. So we're expected to beat Cleveland. They're expected to beat us. So we're kind of where we thought we should be. And, you know, if we end up winning a game here and there against, like, L.A. or whoever, then, you know, then we have made progress this season.
Yeah, that's true. So congratulations to the Detroit Pistons on a victory last night at the Palace. And I don't know what the attendance was, but we'll just assume it wasn't something.
It was empty. The upper deck was empty. The lower deck was empty.
Okay. Well, that'll tell us everything we need to know. I got to tell you, the Tom Gores, who is the newest owner of the Detroit Pistons, you got to be wondering if he's going, why? And I did this because...
Yeah, he can't be making money.
Oh, there's no way. There's no way. I mean, just to turn the lights on in that building is going to cost a pretty penny every day. So, yeah, I don't imagine that this is an investment that is paying off for him at this point. Now, you know, let's be honest about it. He knew that going, and this is a smart businessman. He's made millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. But, you know, you'd like to see some kind of turnaround, but you got to win. That's why you get butts in the seats. So, Detroit Lions, Anthony, a little bad news yesterday. Rookie Ryan Broyles out for the season, a torn ACL, the second in less than 12 months. So be it. The receiving core is depleted. We've basically been told that Titus Young Sr. Will not be back with the Lions this season. It looks like they need to go out and beat the bushes for a receiver or two, huh?
Yeah, we got 4 weeks left. I guess it's time to see who you got at the receiver position. I know we're running out of guys, but I think Patrick Edwards, the rookie in the practice squad, maybe he'll get a shot. I don't know. I don't know who you go out and sign like at this point in the season.
Yeah, I don't either. And they're going to have to do something because they only have three receivers at this point that are eligible to play. The Rabisky guy wasn't even active last week. So, and he's on the, he's one of the three healthy people remaining. So.
Thank God we made that trade a couple weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, because that's turning out to be the lifesaver. So we'll see what happens. All right, well, that'll do it for us today. In sports, not a whole lot going on. So let's take a break here. We're going to be open lines for the rest of the hour. Lots of stuff to get to. As well as I'm sure many of you are aware, the Republicans made their jokingly counter offer on the fiscal cliff negotiations, joking because, frankly, they've said a lot without saying anything. We'll get to all that and more. And I've got a little more criticism for Mayor Dave Bing. Let's talk. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. Good Tuesday morning to you. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get it going right after this.
And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
This is Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, Rainbow Push Detroit, President and State Coordinator. I'd like to wish the First Shift audience a happy holidays.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Just picked up an accident. It's blocking your two left lanes on the Southfield Freeway southbound at Joy Road. And still watching that one car accident is blocking your shoulder on westbound 94 at US 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free?
when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Let me set this up properly. I have, as many of you know, some serious issues with Mayor Dave Bing. I think he's totally lost control. I think he's totally lost focus. I don't believe that he has a focus. So you want to talk about achievement or lack thereof. Dave Bing is so lost in the woods at this point. I don't think he's ever expected that city council would be as steadfast against his posturing because there isn't an end game. And that's the problem with Dave Bing. He doesn't have an end game in mind. He wants to win. He honestly believes in his own mind that he knows what's best for the city, and it would just be so much easier for him if everybody would just shut up and let him do what he knows is best for the city. You know what? That may even be true, but it's not the way politics works, and it's not the way the city of Detroit is run. It's just not the way it happens, Mayor Bing. All right. Let's start with this story, and then we'll bring it forward. A little audio. State Representative John Alumba, who has been on this show a couple times, excuse me, as we know, has called for the recall of Mayor Dave Bing. Let's listen to this from WDIV, then we'll come back.
Mayor Dave Bing's job is certainly a thankless task, and his efforts to remake the city thwarted at virtually every turn. And now the frustration has boiled over to the point where this man, State Representative John Alumba, Democrat from Detroit, has decided enough's enough. Though he did not pick up his phone, Local 4 News has confirmed it is his petition making the rounds. For months, Alumba's questioned the mayor's decision-making. Back in October, he tried to get petition language past the Wayne County Election Commission and failed. A couple of weeks later, though, the day before the November presidential election, he very quietly succeeded. Here's the approved language on the petitions. Quote, Mayor Bing reduced the hours that police precincts are open to the public, end quote. Detroit political consultant Adolph Mongo has a question.
Why? That's crazy.
He says Mayor Bing's less than a year away from another election, doesn't believe that Bing could get reelected, and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars that the city doesn't have is ridiculous. And what's more...
Say they recall him. Then you got Charles Pugh, mayor. We have three mayors, because I don't think Charles Pugh could get reelected or get elected. In another year, six mayors in 4 years, and they wonder why the city is where it's at now.
Well, you know, it's not as simple as that, but let's leave that alone for a moment. I don't fundamentally disagree that it wouldn't make a lot of financial sense to recall the mayor at this time, but I don't know, and we'll reach out to Representative Alumba and get his take on this. This may not be as much about recalling the mayor as it is about calling attention to the mayor. And I think you probably know the difference. I don't know that I need to articulate that. Mayor Dave Bing is, at some level, a low-level virus that, if we're not careful, could turn into pneumonia. He is truly suffocating the city. He has shown, again, a severe lack of leadership. He continues to exhibit very odd behavior. That interview that he did on CNN that we played on the show last week, where he said he had the second hardest job in the country, and that the most difficult part of his job, listen to this, the most difficult part of his job is managing expectations. Well, the problem, Mayor Bing, is you're not doing a very good job of managing those expectations because you continue to disappoint even your most ardent supporter. And the reason is you are showing a serious lack of leadership. I guess you don't show a lack of something, do you? It just kind of, I don't know, just lays out there. You know, at the end of the day, I just don't see that this guy will ever make the city hum in the way he thought he could. Of course, I don't know how realistic or unrealistic he was going in. Did he just expect because he was Dave Bing, people would listen to him? Well, he obviously didn't pay attention to the history of the city of Detroit, especially with the city council, because it ain't ever going to work that way. It never has, and it never will. I'm not even optimistic that we'll ever have a mayor and a city council that agree. You can dump both and start from scratch, and you may not end up with that scenario. And the bottom line is, that's kind of a check and balance system, isn't it? I'm not saying that it should be or is designed to be adversarial, that relationship between the mayor and the council. But with that said, they are not accomplishing anything right now. And I mean anything. And where this is headed is obviously down a very troubled path and most likely into bankruptcy. This is not something that can be fixed by an emergency manager, nor should it be. At some point, and this is the most difficult part about this, when the city should have been listening to those that were offering help and they declined to do that, they dealt themselves their own death knell. Now, I got to be honest with you. I think they did it deliberately. I don't think, especially under the lack of leadership of Mayor Dave Bing, they want the unions to survive and they want to honor past commitments. In bankruptcy, even pensions get screwed, get squeezed, get eliminated, and that will be devastating for those that earned them, it was promised to them, but this would not be unprecedented. Just ask people in the steel industry and in the airline industry. This is getting way beyond out of control. If it's true that the city will be bankrupt by the end of December, laying off people involuntarily is not going to solve that problem. They are in serious need of serious reform. And I don't know who's going to blink first, and I don't know who's going to step up first. But we continue to not serve the best interest of the people that live in the city of Detroit. And ultimately, they were hired, literally hired, by being elected by the very same people they are ignoring. And why is that? I don't have that answer. Listen, this isn't just about money. It's about, again, vision. It's about a lot of things. But it's also about leadership, and we don't see much of it coming from any corner of the universe. I absolutely celebrate the Dan Gilberts of the world, the Mike Ilitches, the Carmanises, and others who have not only made an investment but continue to make an investment in the business community. But you know what? That's only part of the equation, and it only solves a small part of a very large problem. This is generations in the making. And unless and until somebody steps up and says, you know what, enough's enough, and it's not just about agreeing to get along. It's not just enough to have a conversation where everybody walks away in some kind of kumbaya moment. That's not what this is about. It's about making the tough decisions and trying to agree, even to disagree, on certain things that must happen in order for the city to rebound. We should be blessed that Dan Gilbert and those like him are continuing to invest, but you have to ask the question, how much longer will they be able to hold on to something that may just be a pipe dream? A quick break here. We got lots to get to on the other side, including the Republicans' counter proposal. and lots of other stuff. Give us a call if you've got something on your mind. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
When I see the man chilling with his dog in the park, I approach him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Look at his dog, oh my God.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Just picked up a new problem on your drive. An overturned semi is blocking your right two lanes, and traffic is getting by in the left lane only. That's on 75 northbound just before South Huron River Drive. Still watching that accident is blocking your shoulder on 94 westbound at US 23 and the southbound Southfield Freeway at Joy Road. Accident is blocking your right shoulder. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Born in 1930 in Schiller Park, Illinois, the deceased was 82 years old at the time of passing, the day before Thanksgiving. Having enjoyed the sweet life, the end was a bit bitter. For the estate of the dearly departed had been mercilessly plundered in recent years by unscrupulous money managers, leaving 18,500 surviving family members in dire straits. Indeed, the family contends that the octogenarian's death was not due to natural causes, but to foul play. This is the drama behind the death of Twinkies, fondly remembered as the cream puff of the proletariat, and less fondly as a sugar and fat bomb that was a toothache in one bite and a heart attack in the next. This industrial concoction became an American icon. The father of the Twinkie was a baker at the Old Continental Baking Company. He saw the product as a way to keep the factory's confection machinery busy after strawberry shortcake season. Yes, the Twinkie was actually conceived as food for idle machines. How fitting is that? But us humans happily swallowed this extruded marvel of comestible engineering. The Twinkie was the bestseller of Hostess Brands, a conglomerate purveyor of some 30 nutritionally challenged brand-name foods, ranging from Wonder Bread to Ho-Ho's. In the past year, Hostess racked up $2.5 billion in sales, yet it suffered a staggering $1.1 billion in losses. Thus, Ripplewood Holdings, the private equity outfit that had taken over the conglomerate in 2009, solemnly announced that Hostess simply could not survive. Why? Because, executives said, the company's greedy labor unions would not take pay cuts to save it. This is Jim Hightower saying, wait a minute, the bereaved loved ones are to blame? Holy Agatha Christie, that can't be right. Tune in tomorrow for the real story of Who Killed the Twinkie?
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in on this Tuesday morning. We are going to go to the phones. You've got the number if you'd like to join us. My brother Les in Detroit, joins us this early Tuesday morning. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, fellow patriots. Mr. Mungo, I got a great deal of respect for him, but isn't that a Mr. Alumba's choice? You know, we always talk about the money part of it, but what about the prestigious part of Detroit when we have a mayor that's out of control? You know, would you tell a tyrant that, okay, we got, you got another year, you're out of there? No, you try to get the tyrant out of there as soon as possible. This guy could put a for sale sign on Detroit before he leave here, and we need to stop the bleeding. You know, when you got a wound, you need to stop the bleeding. And I had a conversation with Mr. Alumba, and I expressed the same concerns with Mr. Mungo. But then I say, well, that's right. We need to stop the bleeding. And people know me that's out there that I spearheaded a recall campaign in 2010 to get rid of Mr. Bing. And it was unsuccessful. But I tried. And I don't have any problem with Mr. Alumba trying to get rid of a tyrant that's, you know, like you said, Tony, well, he's no good for Detroit. He's not been a good administrator for this city. And as you said in your commentary earlier, that, you know, it's, you know, I've never known the city council and the mayor to get along at any time in the history. But that's the way government works. We got three branches of government, the legislative, executive, and the judicial. And it seems like we're being shanghaied by all three of them, by these corrupt business leaders who, I guess, all they see is dollar signs instead of what people signs. You know, the people that lived in Detroit, like I do, that, you know, we live and bleed Detroit. We love this city. We don't want it shanghaied or destroyed.
You know, I don't have a problem with the recall, and I'm not, you know, and again, we're going to reach out to Representative Alumba, and I have a lot of respect for him. You know, again, he's been on the show a few times, and I've talked with him privately. I find him to be a very responsible and stand-up guy. One of the things I like about him is he often does things that other people wouldn't consider doing, but he always does them for the right or the proper reason. And, you know, that's why I don't have an issue with this recall. Now, if this may be just an opportunity to place ongoing focus on the negativity of Mayor Dave Bing. This guy is one of the most, I can't even put it into words, beyond being disappointing, Les, and the mayor has been extremely disappointing. He's disrespectful and unappreciative of the people that put him into office.
Yes, he is. And I saw that 2 years ago when I spearheaded this, and I did help out on this recall of Dave Bing with Mr. Alumba. But This is the blatant disrespect of the citizens' will. It seems like, what do we have a government for? We don't need dictatorship. If we want a dictatorship, we would move to a country that has a dictator. We're still in America, aren't we, Tony?
Well, we're supposed to be. You know, less
democratic for people.
You know, as I said yesterday, I think that we needed to know everything we needed to know about Mayor Bing when he was okay with the financial manager as long as it was him.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's where Mr. Bing has, you know, he never talks to the citizen. And, you know, these town hall meetings that he go to, we had to mandate it to him. He never comes out. I never heard him use the word bringing some jobs into the city.
No, you know, there are some serious problems. Les, I want to thank you for your call. As always, I appreciate your point of view, and I think that we've got to continue to put heat on the mayor. And, you know, again, we'll reach out to Representative Alumba. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Tom in Detroit. Good morning, my friend. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Tony. How about yourself?
Congratulations on another Dan Gilbert purchase.
Go Dan. Go Dan. Go Dan. And, you know, and don't forget the midterm elections. But anyway, you know, in terms of this recall, you know what? I know people had the right to recall, you know, to petition to recall. But there's a recall next year as well. It's the primary and it's the general election. And I mean, besides, this, if there's a special election, who's ever going to be in there as mayor is only going to be in there for, what, a month or two. And I doubt very seriously they'll be there any longer than that. And, you know, come hell or high water. In August, you know, people will be able to exercise recall to either, you know, put Mayor Bean back in to run in the primary or just knock him out. That is if he decides to run. Okay, but you know, it's going to be an expense. I mean, I've heard upwards of that special election costing about $800,000 to put on, and you know, that's money that the city sorely needs or doesn't have, I should say. But you know, I mean, you know, they're in the deficit spending, so I guess, you know, you keep digging yourself in a hole. Eventually, you'll never get out. But you know, I don't support the recall. I mean, I voted for Dave Bing the first time. If he runs this time, I will not vote for him. But the recall, let's go ahead and let politics take place and go ahead and, you know, get him out that way.
Well, I'm, you know, Tom, I'm going to hold off judgment on this until we talk to Representative Alumba. And not that he's going to come on here and say, hey, no, I don't really want to go through with this, because he's not going to say that. But I want to hear his rationale behind it. And again, this may just be simply a matter of making sure that we keep the focus on the disaster that is Dave Bing. You know, one of the things that I continue to be very, very concerned about is his ongoing "it's my way or it's no way" philosophy. And part of this is because he's not a politician and he doesn't understand how politics works. But the other part of it is, you know, he has been a pretty privileged guy his whole life, Tom. He doesn't really understand what it's like to struggle.
And, you know, and not only that, Tony, I really don't believe that Mayor Bean really understood the enormity and the complexity of this thing called Detroit. And I heard him say, quote unquote, Frank Beckman asked him the question about, well, Mayor, what about the politics? He says, Frank, I'm a businessman, not a politician. And I'm going like, if you're going up there on that 11th floor, you better have some kind of political savvy about you, because otherwise the sharks are going to eat you alive. And, you know, Mayor Bing, the entire time that he's been in the office, he's been too insulated. You know, he hasn't been out amongst the people enough. And, you know, I mean, it's obvious in terms of all of this angst, you know, especially, you know, with the public safety, with the DPD and that kind of thing. But I feel that had he been more accommodating and would have gotten out more, you know, to the people, you know, which I'm pretty sure he does, he's got some people on his side. But I don't think he would have necessarily seen all of this, you know, hostility that's slung at him. I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't step in it.
No, he definitely stepped in it. Tom, what this situation reminds me of is that, you know, both Dave Bing and Rick Snyder have very similar backgrounds. And I think that's what's happened is every time Dave Bing goes and makes a deal with the governor, he does it without the knowledge or the approval of city council. And so he keeps on getting his finger caught in the door. And that's the problem when you continue to make, and I think he's made verbal commitments to the state that he doesn't have a legal right to commit to, nor is it proper protocol. And so when the city council justifiably and rightly wants answers, when Mayor Bing's only response is, no, we're going to do it my way, nobody's going to tell me how to do this, well, he's going to get pushback.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, if anything, you know, first of all, I remember Mayor Young said, you know, always know that you've got 5 votes. Okay, first of all. But, you know, you can't leave the legislative body of this city, meaning the city council, out of any decisions or talks that you're having with the governor. I mean, come on, let's go ahead. You know, if I was running the show, Tony, I would have city council, I would either be down on their floor, up on their floor, or they would be down on my floor. You know, open government, transparency, so, you know, we can see everything that's going on. And you're right there. You know, they're right there in the mix with me, helping me to get this city on track and get it up off its back and on its feet again.
Well, Tom, as always, I want to thank you for your call. I think that as we take a look at the decisions that are being made or not being made for that matter. And there's another meeting, I believe, at 10 o'clock this morning. City Council wants more answers as we get closer and closer. You know, isn't it interesting? We've got the whole fiscal cliff issue that's all about the end of the year. Now we have the city of Detroit problems. It's all about the end of the year, which is just a few short weeks away. There's so much to consider, and yet all sides of this are posturing. We need solutions. We can talk about this all we want. And why does it have to get to the 11th hour? Why does it have to be about threats? And again, after the break, we'll talk about what the GOP is doing at the federal level. The Congress and John Boehner came up with a plan yesterday that was so devoid of detail. It was very Mitt Romney-like in so many ways that you have to ask yourselves, and I do, the Facebook poll question, is this just about politics? Are they being serious? And well, you know, you're going to know my opinion. Anyway, let's take a quick break here. 888-552-3595. Les, Tom, thanks for your calls and your thoughts on the city of Detroit. Anyway, the quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, wishing all of the listeners of First Shift with Tony Trupiano a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Credit card overworked? Mine too.
That's why I'm entering the holiday shopping giveaway at SweetJack.com. If you win, SweetJack will overnight a Visa gift card loaded with $5,000 to pay for your holiday shopping. What gift would you buy yourself? Enter the holiday shopping giveaway now at SweetJack.com to get your gifts on Jack.
No purchase necessary.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing, that they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. So, you know, yesterday I'm complaining that the Republicans are bitching about the president, bitching about the plan, Geithner, all that stuff, and they didn't have their own plan. Well, they presented one yesterday. They did present a plan. Well, let's see what we call it, a plan. We call it an outline, a framework, a joke. Well, anyway, the Ed Show explores what the GOP put forward. Let's listen to that.
John Boehner and the Republicans are still hanging on to their ideological hats. They have no intention of raising taxes on the top 2% of Americans. The latest attempt by the House Speaker to change the conversation is a plan the American people rejected a month ago. The Republican counteroffer to the White House plan relies on $800 billion. The plan does not raise any tax rates on the top income earners. It also contains $600 billion in health care cuts, including raising the Medicare eligibility age. Who has been for that? Nobody. There are $300 billion in cuts in mandatory government programs and another $300 billion in cuts to agency budgets, discretionary spending. So the Speaker's office sent a letter to the President of the United States outlining the plan, saying that new revenue would be generated through, have we heard this before, pro-growth tax reform that closes special interest loopholes and deductions while lowering rates. Oh boy, it's the Mitt Romney plan again. The offer letter actually described the proposal as the Bowles plan. Republicans say the plan is based on the outline by the Debt Commission co-chair Erskine Bowles. Mr. Bowles disagrees. The approach outlined in the letter Speaker Boehner sent to the president does not represent the Simpson-Bowles plan, nor is it the Bowles plan. The White House also rejected the offer in a statement today. The Republican letter released today does not meet the test of balance. In fact, it actually promises to lower rates for the wealthiest Americans and sticks the middle class with the bill. Their plan includes nothing new and provides no details on which deductions they will eliminate, which loopholes they will close, or which Medicare savings they would achieve.
And there you go. The Mitt Romney plan. We're going to solve the problem by not telling you a damn thing. Just trust us are the three words that the Republicans use most often. Just trust us. We know what we're doing. Just trust us. We'll get it right. Just trust us. We are going to get rid of food stamps. So we're going to certainly eliminate the most disadvantaged. You know, if we starve people to death and they die, then we no longer have to feed them or clothe them or educate them. Maybe that's the Republican plan. Maybe they really think there is a physical fiscal cliff and they're going to push people off it, especially those in the 97 or 98%. Well, we'll be fair. It is really 98, probably closer to 99. But you know, I'll give them another percentage point. Maybe they think there is a physical fiscal cliff, and they get enough people to walk up to the edge of it. They just have to walk behind them and scare them, and they'll jump off and die. I don't get it. It's hard to take a political party seriously, and we're going to talk about this with author Tom Pawkin a little bit later on in the show. But it seems to me that the Republican Party is absolutely imploding before our eyes. You know, it's interesting. A handful of right-wing whack job Republicans were taken off their committee assignments yesterday. One of them, Michigan Congressman Justin Amash. Why? Because they don't play well with the Republican leadership. They're too independent thinking, and actually what they are right-wing, whack-job Tea Party dudes that don't believe the Republican Party is conservative enough. Comes as no surprise. So, yes, they're taken off their committees and being punished for, well, being independent. Listen, I'm not a big fan. In fact, not a fan at all of the Tea Party, and certainly not a fan of the philosophy of any part of the Republican Party at this point. But to jokingly, and I really do believe it was a joke, to put out this quote-unquote counter-proposal when it doesn't counter anything and it doesn't propose anything. You know, that's the funny thing. Well, not too funny, actually. It doesn't counter anything and it doesn't propose anything but invites more conversation. We don't need conversation. We need solutions. My, oh, my, have I not been one whiny bitch this hour? I don't like being like this. What's the solution? Well, I guess if I had the solution, I would be an economist in D.C. making seven figures a year. I'm not that, but I do know this. You can't, you know, again, you can't add by subtracting. Well, you can, actually. If you subtract some Republicans and add some Democrats, you'd be okay. You know, folks, if we stop and think about all the challenges that are facing us moving forward, if you stop and think about just for a moment, I mean, just put ideology and philosophy aside for just a moment. Something that I had said repeatedly now, repeatedly, that in order for us to return to some kind of fiscal stability, to create jobs and to build infrastructure, we need to go further in debt. And although that scares the bejesus out of some of you, even some of you on the left, the reality is borrowing is at an all-time low. If we're going to invest in infrastructure, let it be now. Now, the president has proposed a $50 billion buy. It's not enough. It's chump change. I'm telling you, the bottom line, it's chump change. And if we have time a little bit later on in the show today, Rachel Maddow even agrees with me. But I want to point out, I said it first. I did. Been saying it now for a while. What are we going to do to solve the problem? Well, I don't know. I guess find serious people that want to solve problems. John Boehner doesn't seem to be one of them. Let's go to the phones before we have to get out of here this hour and welcome my friend Bamani to the show. Bamani, how are you this morning? And happy holidays to you, my friend.
Happy holidays to you, my brother. I tried to reach out to John Alum because I heard you talking about him, but I was out last Saturday, this past Saturday, with those petitions to recall.
Uh-huh.
Dave B. Yeah, and I got a really, really good response, you know. I mean, there was a few people who asked me what we're going to do, you know, if we do get him out, you know, but my response is that leaving him in would be worse than getting him out, you know. So I happily went out there, and I just got a real good response from the people of Detroit, you know, about his recall. I mean, some of them almost ran up to me. Because I had a big sign.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a big sign on because I thought it would make it easier if people could see what I wanted before they got close to me, you know? And a couple people just ran up to me. Where can I sign? Can I sign five times? You know, I mean, you know, just making kind of a joke of it. But I think there was a lot of interest in people getting rid of him because I think they think that there's just not going to be anything left if he's left in you know, years too long.
No, Bamani, I couldn't agree more. I just couldn't agree more. And I again, if I were a resident of the city, I would be outraged by what this man continues to do and not do, more importantly, for the citizens. Anyway, you have a great day. We got to get out of here for the top of the hour. Stay with us, folks. We've got a great hour in the next one. The MEC, Jane Zender Merrill, will be with us talking about... MEC is Karen O'Brien, but Jane Zender Merrill is going to be talking to us about young people and work and recycling. So we got a lot to do. Let's take a break for the top, and we'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Just picked up a new problem on your drive. An overturned semi is blocking your right two lanes, and traffic is getting by in the left lane only. That's on 75 northbound just before South Huron River Drive. Still watching that accident is blocking your shoulder on 94 westbound at US 23 and the southbound Southfield Freeway at Joy Road. Accident is blocking your right shoulder. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's today and grab a 20-piece Chicken McNuggets. That's 20 tender, juicy Chicken McNuggets made with white meat for just $4.99 as part of a new extra value menu. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Like an unwanted visitor, here comes the flu. CDC says the flu season is starting earlier and hitting harder this year. Prescription? Get your flu shot.
I actually got a flu shot today. I got my flu shot through my employer.
I got it last year. I got it this year as well.
The good news, this year's vaccine is a 90% match for the current strains of the flu, and there's plenty of it. Republicans sending a $2.2 billion counteroffer to President Obama in the latest high-stakes haggling to avoid the fiscal cliff. NBC's Chuck Todd.
The GOP plan includes $800 billion in new taxes through closing loopholes and deductions, not raising any rates. It's half of what the White House asked for.
The president insisting those top-end tax rates have to go up. And finally, some good news about texting. It can help you stop smoking. No buts about it. Researchers say smokers who receive regular supportive text messages have double the chance of kicking the habit. This is NBC News Radio. No word on what the U.S. response would be, but President Obama is warning Syria's Bashar al-Assad not to use chemical weapons against Syrian rebels. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
The president and Hillary Clinton both issued strong warnings to Syria after U.S. intelligence picked up signs that the Assad regime might be making preparations of some kind with its large stockpile of chemical weapons.
Iran says it has captured a U.S. drone aircraft that was operating over the Persian Gulf, the Navy disputing the claim. Just what they don't need, folks in Northern California and the Pacific Northwest getting pounded by a fourth storm in a week that could drop up to 5 inches of rain in some areas. 6,000 still without power in California. And more workers are becoming stand-up guys. Companies are investing in what were once novelty items, stand-up and treadmill desks, fueled by reports that too much sitting harms your health and shortens lives. One manufacturer says sales have jumped fivefold. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Dave Davis here with the Channel 5 traffic report. You're on your own, commuters. I've got shopping to do. Drop her over there, Nick, at the mall.
Prep your car for holiday travel and check gifts off your list today at Sears Auto Center. Come in now and get a $21.99 conventional oil change plus a $5 coupon to shop while you wait. This is being prepared. This is Sears Auto Center. Stop by or visit searsauto.com for more offers and coupons.
Valid for most vehicles. Regularly $29.99. Coupon valid through 12/29. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
As Congress and the White House try to hammer out a fiscal cliff avoidance deal, which could include cuts to government programs, fresh allegations of defrauding one such program. The Inspector General and the U.S. Health Department say Life Care Centers of America, a national skilled nursing facility operator, pressured its therapists to order expensive tests for patients who didn't need them, then bill Medicare. The former manager of the Wet Seal Team clothing store near Philadelphia had accused her employer of race discrimination. Now, following a three-year investigation, the government agrees. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says Wet Seal did create hostile working conditions for the former manager, who is black. The EEOC points to senior company management declaring that for maximum success, it must hire and keep workers with the so-called Armani look, blonde hair, blue eyes. Stock futures gaining, S&P futures up a point, NASDAQ futures up four, Dow futures rising 12. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer...
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, the fourth day of December 2012. Enjoy the 60 degrees we have now. It'll be 40 degrees by the time we get to, about 7 o'clock this evening, and then winter visits again. That's all right. It is December. At least that's what the calendar says. We have a very interesting hour. We're going to explore two issues. One of them, at the bottom of the hour, is going to deal with something that we don't talk enough about, and that's recycling. But the first half hour is a mix of very troubling news and important information. Reality checks are often difficult. This one, I think, a little bit more difficult for those of us that have children in this age group. Let's get to some information. Joining us now is Jane Zender-Merrill. She is the project director for Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy. Since 1994, Jane has managed the Kids Count in Michigan project that produces an annual data book on child well-being and conducts an ongoing public information campaign around children's issues. This one is fascinating, and we welcome Jane to First Shift. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, Jane, and happy holidays.
Thank you very much. You too.
You know, I'm going to just read the headline on the press release. It says, more disconnected youth are jobless out of school. Can we define disconnected?
Yeah, it means that these young people are not only without a job, but they're not attending school, so they're just sort of off track completely. They're not moving ahead in terms of gaining skills, and they're certainly not getting any experience in the labor force.
And we're talking about the age group of 16 to 24, is that correct?
That's right, and less than half of them have any kind of job.
Those are astounding and very, very disappointing and starkly real numbers. You know, I'm sitting here, I mean, 20% of kids in that age group. 20%, Jane. I don't mean to keep on repeating myself like a broken record, but sweet God, where is this? I mean, I think it's going to get worse. I don't see it getting better.
Well, that's the big concern, because if these young people miss the train that's leaving during these critical years in their early 20s, late teens, and they don't get any part-time experience or work into a job of any kind, they are just going to be behind the curve their entire working life. So that's why this report, I think, sounds a note of urgency. We hear a lot about workers that have lost their jobs and older people who are struggling, but we're not paying enough attention to this age group that are simply not making that transition from school or into school or into a job, and the opportunities just aren't there for them, and we need to be talking about what we can do to make this happen.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just late last week, it might even have been this weekend, I was reading an article about non-traditional roles for older workers. And what they meant by that is there are a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that are taking what were once considered teenager jobs, McDonald's, Burger King, bagging groceries. And because they are more mature, they are willing to do these jobs, they seemingly have a work ethic that employers are willing to take a chance by paying them minimum wage or a little more, as opposed to hiring that kid that desperately, Jane Zender-Merrill, needs that first job. Do you see that as part of the reality here?
Yeah, that's part of the reality. And, of course, people have lost pensions and older people have lost jobs at a time in their lives where they're not ready to retire or able to retire. So we're sort of having a squeeze on both ends of the spectrum here. But the issue is if these young people don't get connected to the labor force, they will not be able to move forward. And this will have huge implications, not only for them, but for our communities and essentially the economic viability of the state, to have this many young people who don't have a connection.
How do we even begin, Jane, to start to solve this problem? Is it at education? You know, yesterday we had Steve Cook on, the president of the MEA, and we were talking about building a new education philosophy. That it's a K-14 philosophy, actually pre-K-14 philosophy, that once again includes vocational education, something that we have really let go to the wayside. That is a path. Not every kid wants to, not every kid should have to go to college if that's not what they want. I mean, Jane, that's just a reality. I mean, that's not saying that there some kids are just not bright enough. Some people don't want to do college, but we have lost focus from an educational standpoint. Do you think it begins there, Jane?
I think what the report is saying is that we need to at the national level and at the state level, enlist multiple partners. It isn't just the education system. The young people need to have multiple entries, multiple ways to get connected and back on track. So it's the education system, it's the workforce development system, it's local communities sort of pooling their resources and collaborating around young people who are disconnected in one way or another. It's also our workforce development system, which is very fragmented right now, very decentralized. We have no data about how many youth are served in our workforce development efforts at the local level. So it's multiple partners talking to each other at all levels and seeking to address the problem. We tend to to look to like the education system or the foster care system, and to look at everything in isolation. The truth is that these young people are involved or disinvolved in a number of systems, and we need to meet them where they are. We have done some things in the state around alternative education, but we've vastly defunded adult education. So if kids don't make it through that K-12 system successfully, there's not a lot of ways back in, and we're very concerned also about young people at the community college level who don't have the skills to start college or do a post-secondary training. And the reality is, according to the report, that three-quarters of jobs in the next decade are going to require some kind of post-secondary training or skill building.
Well, we certainly have serious issues to discuss here. My guest again, Jane Zender-Merrill. She is the project director for Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy. You know, Jane, I realize, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that we have lots of different demographics, constituencies, if you will, that are challenged. We have, as you just said, a senior citizen set, or those approaching retirement, that suddenly find themselves losing what were once promised benefits and insurance and forced to go back to work. We have adults that had been in the workforce for years that were displaced or downsized. We, of course, have the problem we're discussing. We have the other problem with kids, young adults graduating college to find themselves not being able to find a job. This is a systemic problem. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, part of my confusion and the reason this really piqued my interest, my God, Jane, where do we start to fix this?
Well, we certainly need to sit down. We need to get multiple partners involved and sit down and start strategizing. We can't ignore it. It isn't going to go away, and it's having severe consequences for these young people, as well as our economy as a whole. So I think that's why this report is so important, and I'm so glad that you're giving some airtime to it, because there are a lot of young people in Michigan who find themselves in this position, and we need to be looking at ways to address it. There are small efforts in local communities. That could be taken to scale. We know that there are successful programs out there that we could extend. While we're talking about the fiscal cliff and disinvesting in programs, we need to think about the long term. Politically, we think way too often short term, and we've got a long term problem here.
This is a long term problem, and at 20% and no plan in place, I think what I find most disconcerting about the conversation to this point, and we should probably spend some time talking about the lack of state involvement and the lack of federal involvement, as almost, Jane, I hate to say this, is that they're not even paying attention to the problem that's in front of them.
Yeah, I think that's very true, and why this report is very timely, and the implications are quite profound.
You know, and we've got to take a break, so I'm going to ask you to stay with us through the break so we can come back and talk more about this. But, you know, seemingly, I want people in this audience to think for a moment. By the time you were 16 years old, had you had a job yet? You know, by the time I was 16, I think I was on my second job. Of course, it was a little different back then, Jane. You know, you could get a job at 13. You really could. Whether it was legal or not is another question, but you could get a job at 13. And you begin to ask yourself, as we get to the break here, that experience. Think about this personally, folks, just for a moment. Think about it personally and how it had a positive impact on who you are today. And if it's not happening, think about the impact of not having those experiences. Jane Zender Merrill, my guest with the Michigan League for Public Policy. A quick break, much more to get to on the other side.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'd just like to wish all of you and your families the merriest and happiest this holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We still have that big problem on northbound 75 just before South Huron River Drive, where traffic is getting by in the left lane only. That's due to that overturned semi that's blocking your right two lanes and causing heavy traffic from Newport Road. And we're still watching that accident that's blocking your right shoulder on the Southfield Freeway southbound at Joy Road. Slow traffic on westbound 696 between DeQuinder and 75 and on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest once again, James Zundermero, the project director for Kids Count in Michigan. It's part of a, by the way, a national coalition. 6.5 million disconnected kids nationally, 222,000 in the state of Michigan. And here's the statistic that'll really get your attention. You ready for this one? This one blew my mind. Right. Just 45% of those in 2011, 45% of those 16 to 24 were employed, dropping from 67%. In 2000, over an 11-year period of time, to see that kind of drop is devastating.
Yes, and it's been stagnating. I mean, we're supposed to be in a recovery period now, and these statistics are pretty bleak. So clearly, we can't sort of let the situation roll along. We need to be talking about ways to address it in terms of getting young people the opportunities that they need to get connected.
Yeah, well, we need to talk about it loudly. We need to talk about it boldly. We need to talk about it often. And we need to do more than talk about it. We need to do something about it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know, and Jane, what really makes this such a dangerous mix, it'd be one thing if these were, you know, well-educated young people that just couldn't find a job. That's not the case. These are people that have, like we've said, disconnected. They're not in school. They're not working. What are they doing, Jane? I mean, that's the question we should be asking ourselves. If they're not in school and they're not working, what are they doing?
Yeah, right. They may be living in their parents' basement or bunking up with friends. I mean, clearly they just don't have any kind of income to be able to survive. And that's one of the items in the report, too, is that these young people need a lot of support no matter what system they come back into to get on track, whether it's the education system or whether it's a workforce development program or whether they get a toehold in a job. There has to be some supportive mechanism to help these kids stay connected. Many of them may lack the skills that they need because they haven't had the experience of jobs, of having a job. As you pointed out, lots of people in older generations started work in their early teens, not their late teens. So we have a big challenge ahead of us in helping these young people get connected and stay connected.
Jane, I don't know what the definition of epidemic might be with regard to this issue, but this seems to me to be epidemic level, if not pandemic at some level.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when you're talking about half the population in that age group, it's a pretty serious problem.
I asked in a fairly innocent question before the break. I mean, remember your first job or your first couple of jobs, you know, getting through high school, you know, for the first time earning a little bit of your own money, being able to go to the movies without asking mom and dad for a couple bucks, or being able to buy your own shampoo and conditioner. You know, Jane, those are kind of very simple but monumental moments in a young person's life. And if you're not even having that moment until you're 24, 25, 26 years old, we are failing the very foundation of this country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, the necessity to make sure that kids can make these transitions from school to work and to create opportunities is a problem that is even more dire in communities where we have concentrated poverty and a lack of jobs altogether. And also in minority communities, we have a lot of young people who are struggling to go to school, even with the levels of poverty that we see now in our local communities. So there's clearly a need for subsidized work if that's what is required. We can't simply let the problem lie without addressing it.
No, but we certainly can't. Are there programs out there that are working? Are there pilot programs, community programs that would be a model for us to follow, to invest in, to push more, to push on our lawmakers to see if we can't find a way to partner with government to make this happen?
Absolutely. There are individual efforts in the state. Focus Hope in Detroit is a prime example. There's a program in Battle Creek. The challenge is to take these programs to scale or replicate them in other communities. But if people aren't talking about it and thinking about it, it isn't going to happen. So part of it is getting people thinking about this and the implications of what's happening to young people. That's important to get people putting their creative energies into strategies and problem solving.
You know, we can ill afford to ignore this. This is, the longer we're talking, I don't want to be wholesale negative here, Jane Zundermerrill. I don't. Although these are daunting numbers, this is an incredibly important conversation to have. But it needs to move beyond talk, and it must be about action. And I think that's the most difficult part about this is nobody's discussing, nobody's having this dialogue. And with all the conversations that are happening right now, and unfortunately it's just conversation, I'm worried. I'm truly worried.
I think it's very telling that half of this report is devoted to recommendations for what people can do in various sectors to address this. Employers, local communities, state government, the national government, and there are certainly advocacy organizations at the national level. Opportunity Nation, for example, is working on this, and there are a number of state and national advocacy organizations that are trying to push to get people to start thinking about this.
Yeah, well, we have to do something. There's no question that this is a serious, serious problem that must be addressed, and it must be addressed quickly. I'm sitting here, my head's just spinning, Jane, because I know that we have a serious problem getting veterans back to work, those that have served in recent wars. They have now come home, and they can't find jobs. That's an issue. Certainly what we're talking about is, again, I think it's pandemic. This problem is pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious issue. We're not addressing the educational needs. We've dropped the ball on vocational ed. Right. And I don't know that we're even listening to young people and asking them, what do you need? What can we do for you? Because, unfortunately, as adults, we just say, well, I did it. You should be able to do it.
Right, and the world has changed quite dramatically, and that's an important point, really, about the importance of having young people involved and listening to young people about what their barriers are and what their needs are and how we can best help them. Because without that component, we just don't have a clear idea of what the world is like for young people at this point in their lives.
All right. Well, we're just out of time for today, Jane Zinder-Merrill. Again, you can go to mlpp.org, mlpp.org, to get more information. Jane, thank you so much. Please keep us updated on what's going on with this issue so we can continue to place some focus on it.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
No, it's my pleasure. A quick break here, folks. Our visit with the MEC when we continue.
Here comes Santa Claus. 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 Here comes Santa Claus.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
We got a new trouble spot. It's on 94 eastbound, just after Harper. Accident has all three lanes blocked, and traffic is getting by on the right shoulder. You got stop-and-go traffic from Little Mac. Still watching that overturned semi that's blocking your right two lanes on 75 northbound just before South Huron River Drive. And heavy traffic on westbound 94 between Gratiot and 12 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A coalition of progressives, unions, and environmentalists is campaigning to change the U.S. Senate's filibuster rules, something Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid wants to do. President Obama supports Reid's efforts as well. What Reid has in mind is to eliminate the filibuster vote needed to officially start debate on legislation. Reid also wants to require senators who use the filibuster to actually spend it talking on the Senate floor. The Communications Workers of America supports the filibuster reform. Shane Larson is legislative director for the CWA.
The Senate can't even debate any bills anymore. They're not even allowed to bring up a bill for an actual honest, good old-fashioned debate. You know, the state that this country's in, with the number of issues that we have confronting us, our legislative bodies have to function.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is warning Reid that changing the filibuster rules would be toxic for bipartisan relations. It's not clear how that is any different from what's been happening already, with Republicans routinely using the filibuster to obstruct majority-supported legislation without having to exert any effort with marathon speeches on the Senate floor. Senator Reid says the reforms are just common sense. SEIU and other supporters are rallying around a Mexican man falsely arrested and now facing deportation under the Secure Communities Program. Melinda Tuhus reports.
Union members waved their purple and gold flags and chanted encouragement for Jose Maria Islas, a 34-year-old Mexican who was falsely arrested for stealing a bicycle and held for 4 months. Then he was released by a judge into the custody of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, which is trying to deport him under the Secure Communities Program. He is now charged with two misdemeanors and was held for an additional month in detention in Massachusetts. He still faces deportation, even though ICE's own policy is to target violent criminals and those who pose a security threat. Matt O'Connor, political director of the Connecticut District of 32BJ, which represents many immigrant workers in building maintenance, emceed the rally. First, he introduced Mike Lawler, Governor Daniel Malloy's criminal justice advisor, who has spoken out against ICE targeting of low-level offenders or those with no criminal record, like Islas, before he was arrested on the false charge.
We're concerned because the perception in the immigrant community that cooperating with the police is an invitation to be deported for you or your family members or your friends. If victims of crime and if witnesses to crime are afraid to cooperate with local law enforcement, then our entire public safety system will break down.
Melinda Tuhus, Workers Independent News, Hartford, Connecticut.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Again, I want to thank Jane Zender Merrill for her time. A very troubling study. Something that we're certainly going to keep an eye on. Would love to hear from some of you via email. If you've got those in the 16 to 24-year-old age range and what their experience has been with regard to both education and job opportunity, would love to hear some of those stories. So feel free to send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's go ahead and get our next guest in, and as we continue an ongoing series with the Michigan Environmental Council. An introduction, please.
Combining deep environmental policy expertise and decades of experience to rally powerful alliances to create reforms and keeping Michigan beautiful for all. First Shift welcomes the voices of the Michigan Environmental Council.
And we do welcome this morning Karen O'Brien. Karen is the executive director of the Michigan Recycling Coalition. As many of you know, as we talked about on this show, Governor Rick Snyder recently did a quote-unquote special message on energy and the environment. Part of that message focused on recycling. So let's go there, and let's welcome Karen O'Brien to First Shift this morning. Karen, thanks so much. I know you've got a busy day today and you've been traveling, so thanks so much for making some time for us.
Tony, thanks for having me. I'm happy to talk about these issues.
All right. Well, you know, listen, I think I do my job. I've got that little green bin that the city gave me, and I put my recyclables in there and put them out on the curb. Is that the kind of recycling we're talking about, or is it a little bigger than that?
Well, you know, it's that times, you know, how many people we have in Michigan. The problem with that is that not everybody in Michigan, in fact, the majority of people in Michigan, don't have real convenient access to recycling opportunities, and we aim to fix that to the economic and environmental benefit of the state.
Well, before we get into what the governor said and then, you know, some of the other questions that I have, and I've got plenty of them, tell us a little bit about the Michigan Recycling Coalition.
So we have been around for over 30 years. We're an association of recycling professionals in both public and private sector who really have an interest in growing the recycling industry in Michigan. The recycling industry has the capacity for energy and natural resource conservation as well as job creation. And in turning something, you know, that we put out at our curb as waste, turning that material into valuable commodities then that, you know, large businesses buy to make new stuff. So it's got values of many a kind.
Well, I mean, by virtue of saying you've been around 30 years, that tells us one thing definitively, that recycling is not a new issue. But that doesn't mean, Karen O'Brien, that we necessarily have it downright. It doesn't mean that all communities treat it equally. It doesn't mean the state treats it equally. And it certainly doesn't mean the federal government is necessarily on board, does it?
No, most definitely it does not mean any of those things. And the challenge with recycling is that it's really a local game. You know, this material is picked up at your curb and is taken to probably a local landfill or a local material recovery facility. But ultimately, we're incurring those costs at a very local level. But the benefits are far beyond that local level. They benefit large businesses in a region. They can benefit the state. And that's why we think it's important for the state to step up and take a leadership role. The government, neither government, state nor federal, have been willing or able to do that in quite a long time. So we've got, you know, small pockets of very successful programs, but nothing widespread. And if we can, you know, begin to collect connect to these programs and provide, you know, a pathway to success, then we will all benefit from that.
All right, so let's talk a little bit, if we can, about the significance and or the substance of Governor Rick Snyder mentioning recycling during his special message on energy and the environment.
Well, it's I believe that he mentioned recycling because we have been working diligently for the past 2 years. We developed a report back in 2011, The State of Recycling in Michigan, A Way Forward, that sought to really change the narrative around recycling. We had gotten stuck in kind of different ways of thinking about how we fund recycling, for example, through a recycling or through a landfill surcharge. But there were no real parameters and information about how we would achieve real recycling. And so we sought to identify, you know, the costs of a program that would get us to 50% recycling levels, what the benefits of that would be, and, you know, how then would we achieve those benefits. So we've been shopping this report around to, you know, anybody who would listen to us, and we finally got it to the right ear. And so I believe that, you know, the text of the governor's message really talked about the need for us to add to the very successful bottle bill that we have to, you know, to get recycling up to that 30 to 50% levels that are achieved in other states in the region. Right now, the bottle bill only allows us to successfully collect about 2% of our municipal waste stream, and what we really need to get to is the 30 to 50% of our municipal waste stream.
Wow. Wow. Those are the shocking numbers. 2%
yes.
Surprises me a bit, Karen.
Yeah. It is surprising, to be honest, with me for me as well. And, you know, there have been proponents of, you know, this deposit type of legislation, but really there's so many different products on the market that it would be very difficult to apply a deposit scenario onto those onto all of those products. And ultimately, the retailers, you know, don't want to be responsible for managing, you know, products at the end of their life, cans and bottles and, you know, empty water bottles. But we have a very successful waste management recycling system at the curb or at drop-off sites and, you know, take-back programs in stores for certain items that are more toxic or have more value. And we really need to put investment into those systems so that they're more able to capture larger volumes of material from a wide variety of sources throughout a diverse geographic region.
Let me ask the difference between, we'll call it residential recycling, and then I want to call it corporate recycling. I know we can do better on both fronts. How are we doing, though, on both fronts?
Well, you know, the municipal solid waste stream is really the residential and commercial waste streams combined. And, you know, on a national level, we're probably at 34% recycling when all is said and done. You know, that's okay. We're a third of the way there. We're getting stronger. I think that when you get into more industrial measures, you have bigger companies that are more able to manage their waste streams from the beginning to the end, and they're beginning to see the value of not just throwing that material away, but finding alternative commodity markets for those end products. So, you know, I think that big businesses, corporations, are getting better and better at this. There's an interest out there to be landfill-free. And most corporations could be landfill-free today if they just sent all their materials to an incinerator. But that's not the intent. The intent is to reduce as much as you can your dependence on any kind of disposal. And how you do that is through recycling.
Karen O'Brien, again, my guest. She's the executive director of the Michigan Recycling Coalition. What's your website, Karen?
Sure. Very simple, www.michiganrecycles.org.
Well, anybody can remember that. Even I can. Michiganrecycles.org. So I want to encourage people to go check that out. What's it going to take, Karen, to achieve a higher recycling rate?
You know, I think that really strengthening the infrastructure throughout the state of Michigan for residents to recycle, whether it's at the curb or local drop-off site, is going to not only assure that all of Michigan residents have access, convenient access to recycling opportunities, but once those infrastructures are in place, then businesses benefit from those and corporations benefit from those. And we, you know, provide a very continued supply of materials, commodities available for manufacturers who may be interested in expanding their businesses in Michigan or bringing their businesses in to Michigan because we can guarantee that they will have a supply. And that is a very important and differentiation between the kind of recycling we saw back in the 80s and 90s where we were concerned with, you know, reducing landfill space. And, you know, the emphasis now is on making supply available to manufacturers because ultimately that's going to make us more self-sufficient and reduce our dependence on natural resources and energy.
Well, you know, and we, you know, we've seen, you know, Karen, we've seen great advances in technologies. We see, you know, and somebody had sent an email about post-consumer waste and wants to know what that means, and we'll answer that question. But, you know, Karen, we have seen advances, so it's not like the dialogue isn't going on. It's there's just more we need to be doing.
That's right. There are several large metropolitan areas in Michigan that have adopted a single-stream recycling approach, which means basically that, you know, you put all your stuff into one bin. You don't have to separate it in any way. All of that material gets put into one truck. Maybe that truck is even compacted, so the material is not separated into different compartments in this truck. And then that truck is taken to a material recovery facility where all those materials are separated and sorted. So no longer are we sorting materials at the curb, and because of that, we can take a much wider variety of materials. Single-stream recycling programs can take, you know, 1 through 7 plastics plus bulky, rigid plastic.
All right, Karen, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We got to get to the break, but there's so much more to talk to after the break. Stay with us. This is First Shift. We're going to recycle some commercials, but we'll be back.
And everyone you meet, oh, ho, oh, the mistletoe hung where
you... Hi, this is Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies, and I want to wish Tony Trupiano and each and every one of his audience a happy and restful holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
It just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310, WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. My guest again, Karen O'Brien, the Executive Director of Michigan Recycling Coalition. You can find them online at MichiganRecycles.org. That's MichiganRecycles with an S, .org. Now, Karen, one of my questions certainly has to be about policy. And when we talk about this being more a local issue, is this something that should be legislated by ordinance at the local level? Is it something we can do at the county level, the state level, the federal level, or maybe some of all of the above?
Tony, it's definitely something of all of the above, and I believe at this point the state needs to come out as a leader to really guide policymaking so that, you know, we're all headed in the same direction. You know, municipalities around the state are really tightening their belts, and you know, budgets have been cut in many ways. And recycling is a full stomach phenomena in many of those cases. And so, if people aren't getting the regular police and fire services, then recycling is not on the radar screen. So, we've got to kind of incentivize communities to make it a priority, because we've been educating our young people about the value of recycling for years and years now, and it's become a just expected, you know, community service. But having said that, you know, local ordinances or local contracts and partnerships with private waste haulers who can and are willing to provide good curbside recycling services, I think are going to be an important part of us moving the whole system forward.
Well, you know, in my community, you know, we don't have to separate our recyclables. We just put them in a bin. There's a truck that comes by and picks that stuff up, and yep, but they compact it right on the truck and off they go. And they do a very nice job, and you know, it's a pretty flawless, easy way to do it. And you know, my wife and I have both taken it very seriously, and you know, we really do, I think, a fairly nice job of recycling. Of course, you can also take advantage in a lot of communities to recycle things like batteries. You can, you know, a lot of communities are very sensitive to toxic, a lot of paints and thinners and that kind of. So again, Karen O'Brien, we've made some progress, but we need to continue to place focus. So let's just for a moment really think about what more the individual can do, and then we're going to kind of broaden it from there. If people aren't recycling and they have recycling in their community, this is just simply a matter of calling up, finding out right where to get the recycle bin, and just starting to do it, right?
Yes, that's very correct. First of all, I'd say that, you know, while Michigan doesn't measure recycling and participation in recycling as a whole, we think that as a state we're recycling at about maybe 16%. Our Great Lakes counterparts are recycling at least 30%, and on a larger scale, you know, the country's at about 34%. So we're well behind where we should be. So, yes, you know, your local resident probably isn't recycling as much as they could be, doesn't have quite the commitment that they should. But there are many people that are underserved because they live in less densely populated areas, and those are areas that we need to get into. So there's kind of two folds, or actually we have a kind of a six-point program that we're moving forward through the policy channels to promote. One is we need to measure recycling. Two is we really need to provide funding and resources to communities that need to create good contracts and develop recycling programs for their communities. Four, we need to educate people and help them identify themselves as recyclers. And once we can kind of make that change and shift, then it will be easier for them to participate in this kind of program. It's really a matter of, you know, putting something in one bin versus a bag and putting it out at your curb. It's not that hard.
No, it's not. I can attest to that. It is really not that hard at all. And yeah, well, I mean, it's just, you know, you do feel like you are doing your part. You know, I pay attention to, not that I watch a whole lot of TV, but, you know, the one that sticks, you know, into mind is how many times we can circle the earth by the amount of water bottles that are used on an annual basis. And, you know, a lot of that stuff ends up in the landfill instead of in the recycling bin. And something as simple as that, Karen, you know, let's just multiply this, you know, by 10, by 20, by 1,000, and all of a sudden something significant is taking place.
And the real, I think, challenge of that is that those water bottles have value on the open commodity market. And if we can capture those and bale them, we can sell them to somebody who's making something new. And if we do that, then we're actually making money off of our waste and not paying in perpetuity to watch the landfill that may leak someday or that, you know, causes a problem for the community. So it's a much, much better way to harness the resources that are already circulating in the economy. We just have to be, change the paradigm and the way we've been thinking about waste for all these years.
Absolutely. Karen O'Brien, let me just ask the obvious question. It's not a bad thing that Governor Snyder puts some focus, although it wasn't a lot of focus, but he did put some focus on recycling. It's a nice start, but it can't just be conversation, can it?
No, very much not. And we were very pleased to see recycling in his message. We recognize his limitations. He needs to kind of work from the resources that his administration and departments have to move on these issues. And because there hasn't been any effort in his departments, he didn't have a lot to start with. But we're in talks right now with the Department of Environmental Quality Director to help to fill out those details and do the research and have the discussions that need to take place so that we really can move beyond these simple questions to something to get us to comprehensive recycling services for Michiganders all over the state.
What can the audience do to help you at MichiganRecycles.org?
Oh, that's such a good question. Certainly the first thing is to recycle. Ask for recycling, whether you're at an apartment complex, whether you're, you know, in a homeowners association, whether it's your township doesn't offer it. If you're in a restaurant, ask them, you know, just start talking about recycling. There's no shame in it. It's, it has wide value. If we can harness the value, if we can get to 50% recycling, the value of that is $500 million annually in the material value alone of that material that we've captured. So that's not with, you know, jobs or, you know, manufacturing or any kind of value-added activities taking place. That is just the material value alone. So it's a big loss for us as a state. Because jobs could be created by the capture of these materials.
All right. Well, Karen O'Brien, I want to thank you so much for being with us this morning. Again, Michigan Recycling Coalition, and again, MichiganRecycles.org. Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Tony. Great opportunity to share the word.
You know what? We're going to recycle this interview when we're off at the end of the year. We're going to use it again. Thanks so much, Karen. I appreciate it. A quick break for the top of the hour. Thank you. A quick break for the top of the hour. Zach Pohl with Progress Michigan when First Shift continues.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
We got a new trouble spot. It's on 94 eastbound, just after Harper. Accident has all three lanes blocked, and traffic is getting by on the right shoulder. You got stop-and-go traffic from Little Mac. Still watching that overturned semi that's blocking your right two lanes on 75 northbound just before South Huron River Drive. And heavy traffic on westbound 94 between Gratiot and 12 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now on for 4 full hours from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. Right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Get a flu shot. That's the prescription from the Centers for Disease Control, warning that the flu season is starting earlier and hitting harder this year. NBC's Tom Costello.
Most at risk during the flu season, the elderly, the very young, and it's women who are pregnant. Each year, 200,000 people are hospitalized with the flu.
They say this year's vaccine is a 90% match for the current strains of flu. The White House throwing cold water on the Republicans' fiscal cliff counteroffer, spokesman Jay Carney.
The obstacle here continues to be Republicans who hold out hope that we can somehow go through this process and still deliver tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires.
The GOP plan adds tax revenue by closing loopholes and changing deductions, but does not raise top-end tax rates. And it's really a laughing matter. Seinfeld has been voted the nation's funniest sitcom of all time, nosing out The Honeymooners, Friends, and Cheers close behind. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama with a message for Bashar al-Assad, warning the Syrian dictator not to use chemical weapons against Syrian rebels.
I want to make it absolutely clear to Assad and those under his command, the world is watching. The use of chemical weapons is and would be totally unacceptable.
U.S. intelligence picking up signs that Syria has been moving its chemical stockpiles. Iran says it's captured a U.S. drone aircraft that was operating over the Persian Gulf. The Navy, however, denies it. Mercedes had a month to remember in November with sales up a record 13% on everything from the top-of-the-line Gullwing SLS to those Chinese smart cars. And no little green men have been found, but the Mars rover has dug up some tantalizing hints of chemicals essential to life. Curiosity's first soil sample contains hints of carbon-based compounds that could reveal whether primitive forms of life ever existed on the red planet. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News. News Radio.
Before you hit the road this holiday season, make sure your vehicle is ready. Inspect the fluid levels, belts and hoses, test the battery and brakes, and replace worn wiper blades. Avoid problems on the road and keep your holiday travels safe with parts from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With an industry-leading distribution network, Grainger can save you tons of downtime by offering over 900,000 products, many ready to ship right when you need them. In fact, 99% of items ordered ship same day. So fast, the International Acronym Committee is considering changing ASAP to ASAG, or as soon as Grainger. At least they would be considering it if there were such a committee. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Toy companies are being challenged to think outside their traditional gender boxes this year. Citing the increase of dads doing the toy shopping for their children, Mattel is unveiling next week a line of Barbie play sets for dads and daughters to enjoy together. Lego-style construction sets called the Mega Blocks Barbie Build and Style. This as a 13-year-old girl petitions Hasbro to place images of boys on packaging for Easy Bake ovens. Already she's collected more than 23,000 signatures. She was inspired by her 4-year-old brother's attempt to use an Easy Bake. She says it is quite appalling that no boys appear on the packages. She says it sends the message that women cook, boys work. And she points out many of the world's most famous chefs are men. Stock futures gaining right now. S&P futures up 2 points. NASDAQ futures up 4. Dow futures rising 21. In early electronic trades, though, oil futures moving the other way, down 75 cents to $88 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the Internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. Well, we continue on a path to sanity. At least I hope that's what this is. If not, I've been fooling myself for 51 years. Listen, we've got some important conversating to do in this hour. And interestingly, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to a dye-in-the-wool Republican, a former Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan administration official turned author, and we're going to talk about conservatism and is it dead, and in keeping in scope what's going on with the fiscal cliff, what's going on politically, what's going on with the relevancy of the Republican Party and the Tea Party, etc. Should be an interesting conversation. But before we get to that, we've got real important work to do as we continue our weekly series with Progress Michigan. With that said, if I could have an introduction, we can get going.
Providing a credible voice to grassroots organizations while holding public officials accountable and proving time and time again that you can't stop progress.
There are 2 different sets of bills that are cutting their way through the House. The first was introduced in Tax Policy Committee by Representatives Lyons and Gilbert. And essentially, these bills would give a tax credit to fetuses. They argue that this is to help with offset the cost of medical bills and for a woman's well pregnancy. But it's offensive.
First Shift proudly welcomes Progress Michigan to your show.
And we do, and we welcome back the executive director of Progress Michigan, my friend Zach Pohl. And Zach, I want to welcome you and wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, my friend.
Thanks, you too, Tony.
I appreciate that. I wish we had a little bit more to celebrate right now, but I will say this. Mark Brewer actually framed it nicely yesterday. We need to be warriors, but we need to be happy warriors. And, of course, we've got a big fight on our hands. Those of us that are not proponents of right to work for less. Zach Pohl, as I know you are well aware, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, after saying that they were not supportive of right-to-work legislation, all of a sudden are for right-to-work legislation. Zach?
I know. Shocking, isn't it? Yeah, just last month, the Chamber's CEO and President Rich Dudley was on, I believe it was Flashpoint in Detroit, talking about Proposal 2 and said, the governor doesn't support right to work. We at the chamber don't support right to work legislation. And here we are, less than, about 6 weeks down the road. And suddenly the Chamber of Commerce comes out in support of right to work legislation. I mean, I think it just shows plain and clear that this is a power grab on the position of, big corporate CEOs who see an opportunity for some political payback after the November election. We know so-called right-to-work legislation, it's not about rights, it's not about work. You know, this is going to hurt the middle class by giving, corporate CEOs another huge tax giveaway at the expense of our jobs, retirement security, and our kids' future. And bottom line is, we know right-to-work is going to be wrong for Michigan.
Well, let's break this down for just a moment, because, you use political payback was the phrase, and you're not alone. We've heard that from mainstream journalists. We've heard that from pundits. We've heard that from politicians. And Zach, it kind of begs the question, political payback for what? I mean, if this is about Proposal 2, well, frankly, we lost Proposal 2. So what are they exacting revenge on?
Well, I can sum it up for you in two words: pure greed. And that's not me saying that. That's Bill Ballinger, who is a former Republican legislator, now currently the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Just yesterday in MERS News, said at this point, quote, achieving right to work is pure greed. And I think he's absolutely right. This is about, again, corporate CEOs see an opportunity to pad their profits by undermining collective bargaining rights. They finally sort of have the holy grail here. I mean, the time's running out. They have a bigger majority than they will in January. They see an opportunity to ram through the so-called right-to-work legislation. What's maybe even more disturbing is the fact that they're talking about making this massive change to labor law in Michigan without even having hearings. I mean, in other states that have passed right-to-work laws, like Indiana last year, working families may not have supported it, at least the legislature there had, consistent hearings on the issue. There was an opportunity to at least debate it, the relative merits, for and against so-called right-to-work legislation. There's pretty active talk in Lansing about, discharging a bill to the floor without ever having, a minute of time to debate this issue, which is pretty astounding when you consider that we send our elected officials to Lansing to do a job. And right now they're talking about, instead of actually working together to focus on jobs and education, ramming through this political payback bill before the end of the year. And it should outrage everyone in Michigan and sort of thing that we need to start holding our feet to the fire right now to stop this in its tracks.
Zach Pohl, talk a little bit about the polling that was done immediately after the election on collective bargaining and where the citizens of Michigan come down on that issue.
Absolutely. Bottom line is, people in Michigan overwhelmingly support collective bargaining rights. 70% of Michigan voters we did the poll starting even on election night. 70% of Michigan voters said they support collective bargaining rights. And even 55% of voters who voted no on Proposal 2 said they support collective bargaining rights. A huge majority, I think it was about 83%, said they want Lansing politicians to be focused on creating good jobs, improving education, not on changing the state's labor laws, changing the rules that have to do with how unions collectively bargain. And unfortunately, the politicians in Lansing once again didn't get the message. So here we are, December 4th, 2012, and we're wasting time on an issue like so-called right-to-work legislation instead of doing things like the Regional Transit Authority or passing legislation to get the bridge started that we know is going to create 10,000 jobs, things that we know work to put people back on the job. That's going to help, lift the middle class and get our economy rolling again. It just shows once again that politicians in Lansing have the wrong priorities.
Well, and then we get word, and I've not been able to confirm or been able to deny it, that there is some kind of talks underway that that the Republicans are actually trying to hold organized labor hostage by saying, well, we won't necessarily introduce right to work, but in exchange for that, you have to stay out of the governor's race. You have to support other draconian measures that what some are calling right to work light. Of course, I don't advocate for that, but I'm not at the table, and I don't get to make that decision, Zach Pohl. I think we're headed down a very dangerous road here.
Yeah, I mean, what's really fascinating and will ultimately determine what happens with right to work is the schism between House Republicans and Senate Republicans. The Senate obviously didn't have elections this year, and they will in 2014. So if there's opportunities for things like legislative recalls, things like that, it would impact the Senate before it would impact the House due to the way the Constitution is written. Recalls can't even be an option for 6 months. So senators are clearly a lot more skittish about passing right to work. On balance, the Senate is a little more moderate than the House right now. And so Republicans are a little divided on this issue, too, and they really haven't come to a consensus yet. And I think that's going to have a huge impact on how this plays out over the coming weeks. But, again, you know, our message, you know, over and over has been, you know this is going to hurt the middle class. We shouldn't be wasting our time on it. And, again, it's time to get our priorities straight. And these guys need to start doing the jobs they were sent to Lansing to do.
Well, you know, Zach, certainly one of the things that Progress Michigan does exceptionally well is to hold lawmakers accountable. I'm going to focus in on Republicans right now because there isn't a Democrat legislatively that supports right-to-work legislation. That's just a fact. I'm not making it up. It's a fact. So my question to you is, and we've seen this as kind of indicative of the Republican ideology, that no matter what the people want, and I could name off legislation till I turn blue in the face, that the people didn't want by vast majorities that this Republican legislature passed and the governor signed anyway. Again, if this is indicative of the behavior that we can expect on the right to work fight, it sounds like we need to put, I mean, literally an army together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, it comes down to accountability. And what's maybe most frustrating, too, is the fact that a lot of these decision makers have actually historically been opposed to right to work. I mean, Senator Randy Richardville, the majority leader, has said things like, quote, I don't think that right to work legislation really is going to change the face of the state for the better. Governor Snyder has repeatedly said right to work's not on his agenda. He doesn't want to see a bill on his desk. Actually, earlier this year when he testified before a House Congressional Committee in Washington, said, quote, I don't think right to work is appropriate in Michigan in 2012. And here we are in December having this conversation. And so, you know, words matter. And, you know, when we've seen elected officials say that they don't support right to work, they don't see it as a priority, then let's hold them accountable to that. You know, I give Governor Snyder some credit for not, you know, demagoguing this issue like some other politicians in Lansing have. But there's a real opportunity here, I think, for him to truly do something positive and tough as a Republican and come out and say publicly that he would veto right-to-work legislation. We can put this divisiveness aside and, again, focus on the issues that voters want their elected officials to be working on right now, and that's jobs and education.
All right. My guest is Zach Pohl, Executive Director of Progress Michigan. You're going to find them online at progressmichigan.org. Zach, stay where you're at. We've got to take a quick break here. More on the right-to-work issue, our White to Work for Less issue, when we continue here on First Shift. If you'd like to join us, now's the time to dial us up, 888-552-3595. Much more to do in this 8 o'clock hour on First Shift. Stay with us.
This is Jessica Tremontana, Communications Director with Progress Michigan, and we wish all of Tony Truppiano's audience a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill.
We're picking up lots of accidents on your commute. You're still watching that overturned semi that's blocking your right two lanes on 75 northbound before South Huron River Drive. Also, accident has your left two lanes blocked on 94 eastbound just after Harper Avenue. That's causing stop-and-go traffic from Little Mac. 275 northbound at the 696 M5 split. Accident is on the left shoulder of the ramp to 696 eastbound. 75 northbound before Dixie Highway. Accident reported there. And on M59 northbound at Plymouth, accidents blocking your right lane. Stop and go traffic from Warren. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Need plans for lunch? Stop into Qdoba and get your meal queso-fied. For a limited time, Qdoba is offering their one-of-a-kind three-cheese queso on any burrito absolutely free. Just ask to have your burrito queso-fied, and you'll see why bacon's got nothing on queso.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310. WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Zach Pohl again, my guest, the executive director of Progress Michigan. Before we go to the phone, Zach, I want to remind people that that either listen to the show regularly or intermittently that, you know, being a part of organized labor, it's not just about economic issues. You know, collective bargaining is this, it's democracy in the workplace. It's about safety. It's about a patient to nurse ratio. It's about a lot of things that have absolutely nothing to do with one red cent. Is Zach there, guys?
Oh, sorry, Tony. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I'm the grandson and son of union members. You know, there's no way I would have gone to college if it weren't for the fact that, you know, my parents had a good middle class income to help put me through school. And it really is, you know, about, you know, building a strong middle class in this country. And as you said, democracy in the workplace, giving workers a voice on the job to advocate for better wages, benefits, safety on the job. That's what it's all about. And the fact that we've got politicians in Lansing trying to undermine collective bargaining rights, you know, just, again, goes to show how far out of whack their priorities are right now.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones and welcome Mark in Birmingham. Mark, happy holidays to you. You're on the air with Zach Pohl.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I don't think
the Democratic side can be trusted, because there was, my understanding is, there was an unwritten deal that if the Democrats didn't push Proposal 2 and the right to collective bargaining, then the Republicans wouldn't put right to work on the ballot. And just like we can't trust Obama and Reid for future spending cuts, which under the Reagan era, the Democrats rescinded those promises, we really can't trust you guys.
Okay, well, I appreciate your cynicism, Mark, but I don't know. I mean, first of all, it's hearsay, Zach. I wasn't in the room. I don't think you were in the room if that conversation happened. So at this point, it's just hearsay if that indeed was a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I certainly never heard anything to that effect. I mean, I think there were certainly, you know, the governor has said repeatedly that he, you know, supposedly tried to urge organized labor away from supporting Proposal 2, but I certainly never heard of any kind of deal. And, you know, frankly, again, the fact that the governor has still to this day not come out to say definitively what he would do on right to work, I think just goes to show that, he's still conflicted about this and hasn't really made a deal even with himself, let alone anyone else on right to work.
Well, you know, Zach Pohl, I'll buy that at some degree, but I want to go back, and I don't know if you saw last Thursday, Susan Demas, journalist with the Mirror's News Service and MLive.com, wrote a column on the governor showing leadership on this issue. And she basically, I mean, in a very simple way, just said, he actually owes it to the state to come out and state his position. And I don't know if you saw that piece, but it couldn't have been more realistically and better written. She wasn't calling anybody out. She was just saying, at a time where we need leadership, where is it?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things, whether you like Governor Snyder or not, you know, he's you know, clearly laid out an agenda that he's, you know, pursued, in his words, relentlessly. The difference this time is there's nothing positive about right-to-work legislation, and he has a real opportunity to put this issue to bed once and for all. I mean, he is, in effect, the leader of the Republican Party in the state of Michigan, and if he says he wants to veto right-to-work legislation so he can focus on other more important priorities, then his party should get in line and follow suit. I mean, I think he has a real opportunity to demonstrate some of that bold, tough leadership he keeps talking about, and we'd love to see it. And hopefully he does step forward and do that here in the coming days.
Well, time will tell. There's no question. You know, we should address what right to work has done, Zach, in many states. You know, there's seven of the top 10 unemployment, the highest unemployment states in the country are right-to-work states. Some of the greatest poverty in the country are in right-to-work states. Some of the least insured citizens of this great country of ours are in right-to-work states. It's not exactly a rosy picture of what right-to-work is supposedly going to do for you, is it?
No. I mean, the first statistic is, studies have shown that workers in so-called right-to-work states earn about $1,500 less per year and often go without health insurance. So that's $1,500 that can't go toward daycare, can't go towards gas, prescription drugs, things like that. But real quickly, the best sort of recent case study is the state of Oklahoma was the first state in the post-free trade era to adopt a right-to-work law back in 2001. Their legislators made huge promises about companies relocating to Oklahoma because of the right to work. They said there'd be more jobs available, but here we are 11 years later. Jobs have actually fallen in Oklahoma by about 25%, and the number of companies moving there dropped by a third. So right to work didn't do anything to help blunt what we saw during the Great Recession. If anything, they fell just as hard or harder than many other states did. So bottom line is, this isn't going to do anything to help lift up Michigan's economy. It's certainly not going to do anything to help Michigan's middle class. It's actually going to hurt middle-class workers by cutting wages about $1,500 a year. And, there's no real upside here other than the sort of political payback we've been talking about.
You know, Zach, let's talk about a conversation that should be going on. I think you'll agree with this. I know you. I know that you are a very thoughtful person. And in the last hour, we spoke with the Michigan League for Public Policy on a study that was released yesterday from the Kids Count Project. And we know that, and this is just an astounding number, Almost half of young people ages 16 to 24 are what they call disconnected, either not in school or don't have jobs. Almost half, Zach. Isn't that a conversation we should be having instead of whether or not we should penalize people for being politically bold?
Yeah, I sure wish so. I mean, I think, you know, we all know somebody, be it a family member or a close family friend, who's got younger workers in their family who either aren't in school or have finished school and can't find a job. And that's something, that's a real problem in this state. We're not preparing the next generation of workers in this state to compete for the kind of high-tech jobs that we're going to need in this 21st century to be a competitive state. And the fact that we're ignoring this and essentially focusing on a bill that is all about punishing teachers, nurses, and firefighters, again, this just goes to, you know, the lack of
We are losing Zach. Zach, are you there?
Yep, I'm sorry.
Ah, there you are. That's okay. That's
all
right.
I was just saying that, you know, we've clearly, you know, our priorities are out of whack. Instead of working on getting, you know, building up our next generation of workers, we're focused on tearing down teachers, nurses, and firefighters, and it just goes to show how far out of whack our priorities are in Lansing right now.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about police and firefighters. It's interesting because, and sadly interesting, the first thing that municipalities did when they started having budget issues was they cut, and I didn't want them cutting anybody, but the first thing they do is cut police and fire. They get rid of contracts. They get rid of health care benefits, which, by the way, were bargained collectively. You talk about wrong priorities. Zach, we're just out of time for today. We'll look forward to visiting with Progress Michigan again next Tuesday. But thank you for what was a fascinating conversation today.
Thanks, Tony.
You bet. Zach Pohl, once again, progressmichigan.org. Folks, for those of you that can, if you can give a little on a monthly basis, it goes a long way towards the good work they do. Let's take a quick break. A Republican when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Still watching that overturned semi that's blocking all lanes on 75 northbound before South Huron River Drive, and traffic is stopped from Newport Road. Now we got heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Outer Drive and the Southfield Freeway. Also on the 96 Service Drive eastbound between 96 and the Southfield Freeway. And more heavy traffic on the Lodge southbound between 7 Mile and Glendale. Heading back over to the Southfield Freeway northbound at Plymouth, accident has your right lane blocked with stop-and-go traffic from Ford Road. And staying on the Southfield Freeway southbound just after Plymouth, we got another accident that's blocking your right shoulder. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Born in 1930 in Schiller Park, Illinois, the deceased was 82 years old at the time of passing, the day before Thanksgiving. Having enjoyed the sweet life, the end was a bit bitter, for the estate of the dearly departed had been mercilessly plundered in recent years by unscrupulous money managers, leaving 18,500 surviving family members in dire straits. Indeed, the family contends that the octogenarian's death was not due to natural causes, but to foul play. This is the drama behind the death of Twinkies, fondly remembered as the cream puff of the proletariat, and less fondly as a sugar and fat bomb that was a toothache in one bite and a heart attack in the next. This industrial concoction became an American icon. The father of the Twinkie was a baker at the Old Continental Baking Company. He saw the product as a way to keep the factory's confection machinery busy after strawberry shortcake season. Yes, the Twinkie was actually conceived as food for idle machines. How fitting is that? But us humans happily swallowed this extruded marvel of comestible engineering. The Twinkie was the bestseller of Hostess Brands, a conglomerate purveyor of some 30 nutritionally challenged brand-name foods, ranging from Wonder Bread to Ho-Ho's. In the past year, Hostess racked up $2.5 billion in sales, yet it suffered a staggering $1.1 billion in losses. Thus, Ripplewood Holdings, the private equity outfit that had taken over the conglomerate in 2009, solemnly announced that Hostess simply could not survive. Why? Because, executives said, the company's greedy labor unions would not take pay cuts to save it. This is Jim Hightower saying, wait a minute, the bereaved loved ones are to blame? Holy Agatha Christie, that can't be right. Tune in tomorrow for the real story of Who Killed the Twinkie.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back, 835 on this Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. Appreciate you all being with us. Well, listen, there's a book out titled Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way and How We Can Find Our Way Back. Let me give you just a little background on the author, a fascinating guy, by the way. He's a native Texan, a veteran of the Nixon and Reagan administrations, and former state chairman of the Texas Republican Party. Tom Pawkin, who is the author of 30 Years of War, The Politics of the 60s Generation. He holds a bachelor's degree from Georgetown University and a law degree from Southern Methodist University. He currently serves as the chairman of the Texas Workforce Commission. Now, let me say this. As I read this book, it is clear that Tom Pawkin and I, philosophically, ideologically, policy, probably aren't going to see eye to eye on very many issues. But the thing I love about this book, and I think that every liberal in the country should read it, is that it harkens back to really something that we're missing in politics right now. Frank, honest discourse that even if we agree on it, is based in fact. And that is missing in today's political dialogue. Tom Pawkin, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning.
Tony, very, very nice of you to say that. And the funny thing is, I've had more openness from what you might call liberal talk show hosts than I have from the neoconservative gang and some of the Karl Rove types, who, of course, I'm very critical of in my book. And I listened to Jim Hightower's commentary. The irony is, as he's talking about these leverage buyouts, I'm very critical of them, but my solution from a conservative perspective is just change the tax system so you reward investing in America by getting rid of a tax system which encourages these leverage buyouts, because under our current business tax system, which is the most onerous in the world, debt is deductible while capital investment, employment, and savings here in the U.S. are punitively taxed. Reverse that and bring the jobs home to America. And I find there's really common ground among many of us who believe you've got to have a strong manufacturing base and you got to bring good-paying jobs back, or we're going to kill the middle class in our country.
Well, there's no question that's true. I've got to tell you, let me look at this. I'm trying to remember. Okay, mid-November is when I got a press release that the title of it, as you know, was "Is Conservatism Dead?" And one of the things, Tom, I've been talking about on this program since the November 6th election is the relevancy of the modern-day Republican Party. And I've got to tell you, as a dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore liberal Democrat, I need a vibrant Republican Party to challenge all of the misgivings that I have about myself. I need somebody to debate me. I need somebody to help me shape policy. And I'm not seeing that in today's Republican Party. Am I not looking hard enough?
No, I mean, I'm tired of the cliches and the PR and the sizzle, but it's on both sides, Tony.
No, I'm not going to disagree with
you. It's kind of 40% versus 40%, and we're not engaged in a serious discourse about how to bring this country together and how to fix things. I mean, I've been working in Texas. We fell into this trap, and it's partly the responsibility of Sandy Kress, the architect of No Child Left Behind in the Bush administration, with this idea everybody's going to go to a college, a four-year university, so let's push everybody in that direction, teach to a test, designed to encourage that. We're all part of the knowledge industry. And we got a terrible education system down there, which has ignored the importance of what we called vocational education in the old days, now called career and technical education. A lot of kids dropping out of high school are throwaways, and if given the opportunities for multiple pathways to high school education and skilled training, they do a heck of a lot better. And we've got a terrific coalition on both sides of the aisle because we're talking about ideas and not just sort of us beating up on the other guy or they're beating up on us. And I think that's what we've got to do. Where there's common ground, and there are going to be areas of difference. I've been encouraged. I mean, some of my good liberal friends like the book. They disagree with some of the things, particularly on the cultural analysis. But on foreign policy and on domestic policy, if you're talking about bringing the jobs back, rebuilding the manufacturing base, and getting away from this idea you can use U.S. military force to impose democracy around the world, there's common ground among a lot of people who don't necessarily agree on other issues.
You know, Tom Pawkin, it's interesting because this book was published in 2010. It is more relevant, I think, today than it was when you published it.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I talked about, you know, getting away from the lesser of two evils in our party, and we wound up, with all due respect to Mitt Romney, with here we go again, another of the lesser of two evils. And then secondly, I quote from Barry Goldwater in the book saying, you know, our objective is not to represent big business, big government, or big labor. They've got their folks representing them, is to represent the forgotten Americans, the middle class taxpayers who don't have lobbyists in Washington and aren't looking for loopholes in the law. If we don't go back to that, we're going to lose, and the Democrats are going to continue to win. I mean, the exit polls show that a majority of the voters thought that Barack Obama and the Democrats better represented the interests and concerns of the middle-class Americans than did Mitt Romney and the Republicans. That was not the case when I worked for Ronald Reagan. And we just got too much influence on our side by the Karl Roves and the big money folks. And until or unless we break that cycle, we're going to continue to decline, in my estimation, because their interests are not necessarily the interest of those of us who became part of the conservative movement, beginning with Goldwater and continuing with Ronald Reagan.
Well, I've been dying to ask you this question, Tom Pawkin. And again, I want to recommend this book to everybody, but certainly liberals need to read this book. But this is the question I've been dying to ask you. The Tea Party claims that they are the real conservative faction of the Republican Party. Your thoughts on the Tea Party and whatever faction you want to align that thought process with?
Well, it depends on who is the Tea Party. I mean, there are a lot of good people who are really frustrated by what's happening in the country. It reminds me of the folks in the 70s who were on the conservative side, very frustrated with the drift of the country. And then Ronald Reagan got elected, and he sort of coalesced people. The problem is, in the Tea Party, you've got folks trying to manipulate the movement for their own purposes. You've got people who I would call kamikaze conservatives who feel that we've lost, so let's just go, you know, let's just go out and say whatever we want to, because we don't have any hope anyway. And then there are a lot of very good, sincere people. So it's a mixed bag like other things. I think the key is you've got to argue the power of ideas, and that's what we've gotten away from. You know, it's become, and I see the politicians, I'm reminded, it's not, I don't quote it in my book, but there was Ambassador Charles Malik, who was ambassador, he was involved with the UN, head of the UN General Assembly. He was from Lebanon, ambassador to the U.S. He talked about the politicians whose view of leadership is seeing where the crowd is running and rushing to get ahead of them and tell them what they want to hear and proclaim himself the leader of them. And we got too many of those kind of, quote, leaders in American politics today on both sides of the aisle. Real leadership is addressing the serious concerns facing the nation and trying to come up with solutions, I would call it common sense solution, to address the problem. So that's what we've got to get back to. Ideas have consequences, and that's the kind of conservatism that I once knew. But with the neoconservatives, if you're against them, they just sort of engage in personal attacks. And quite frankly, on the left, there's some of that as well. And so you got to get beyond sort of the arena of attacking the other side personally, whether it's Obama or whether it's the Republican candidate at the time, and say, okay, let's argue out ideas and understand. I understand the nature of campaigns. I've been in them, but ideas have to. That's what we have to have our debate over is ideas and what's best for the country in the future.
You know, Tom, I don't know that people understand Karl Rove in the way that you do and the way that perhaps I do. People probably are not aware that George Herbert Walker Bush despised this man. In fact, fired him from his staff at one point. Karl Rove has really been a major architect of what we currently see as the Republican Party, whether they want to embrace that or not. He's been a cancer, Tom.
Well, no, look, I butted heads with Carl. I beat him when I ran for state party chairman as a Republican. He controlled the state party, and I won in 94, and then he beat me later, I mean, in terms of attorney general race in 1998 after I'd left the party chairmanship. I mean, Carl never was a conservative. His favorite book at one time was Prince by Machiavelli. He's a sort of imitation Lee Atwater, who I had a high regard for. Lee was a fighter, but Lee was the kind of guy that you could be in a battle with and then afterwards shake hands and well, we'll work together in the future. With Carl, if you don't agree or go along with everything he says, it's like you're an enemy. And I quote Fred Barnes in the book, who called me one day and said, I was just with Rove and Bush, and they said, you're their least favorite Republican in Texas, is when I was state chairman, because they want to control everybody. And that's not, you know, the conservative movement, when it was vibrant and strong, we had a group of independent people, not people who simply saluted and went along with whatever the powers to be wanted. And that's the problem with Rove. It's you better do what he says or you're out, and you get a bunch of people moving up the ranks, and effectively Carl, as well as actually the Bush Baker crowd, effectively wiped out the Reagan Farm Club of a lot of independent conservatives who would have moved up the ladder had Rove not had the influence he did. So he needs to leave, quite frankly.
All right, Tom Hawkins, stay right where you're at. We've got to take a quick break here. Tom is author of the book Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way, and How We Can Find Our Way Back. Tom Paukken, PAUKEN.com, is the website address. We do have to take a quick break here. I will say this. This book is truly a page-turner, and as little time as I have to read, I got through it in 2 days without any problem. I think you will find it. I know you'll find it fascinating. There's much more for us to talk about with author Tom Paukken after we do this.
Hello, it's Lori Lamarin from Planned Parenthood, wishing all of the listeners a wonderful and blessed holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
10 minutes before 9 o'clock, my guest again, author Tom Pawkin of the book, Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way and How We Can Find Our Way Back. We're going to get to that part of it in just a minute. You know, Tom, one of the things that I love about people like you, obviously you're very intelligent, but you have something that's called institutional memory. You remember a time when, and we can just fill in the blank, when we could actually communicate, when we could actually compromise, when we actually had respect for one another. A lot of that stuff has disappeared. It wasn't. And listen, politics has always been about posturing to some level. But at the end of the day, Tom, you know, the good, thoughtful people made decisions that actually mattered. I don't see a lot of that these days.
God, that's a great point, Tony. You know, when I was in the Reagan administration, we had the Vietnam Veteran Leadership Program we were putting together to kind of help some of our fellow veterans who'd had problems or were underemployed. And we had some of the, I'll be frank, some of the liberal Democrats tried to kill the program. It wasn't partisan. But John Fales took me over to Joe Moakley from South Boston, where they had a ton of guys from South Boston who served in Vietnam. And we went over to see Tip O'Neill, and Tip O'Neill gave the blessing to the program. And we got along. I mean, we worked together because if they saw that something was good that wasn't being, you know, wasn't politicized, we could work together. Now, you know, Reagan and Tip O'Neill could have a beer after work after fighting over issues during the day. We got to get back to that. And we're doing some of that, or at least some of us are here in Texas. I work with a lot of the Democrats here in Texas. But at the same time, there are going to be some issues where we're on opposite sides. But let's do it in a civilized way and fight it out and come back together and shake hands. And we, you know, that's part of the problem with the Karl Roves on our side and some of the folks on your side, that it's sort of a search and destroy mission, wipe out the other guys. And ultimately, that creates a lot of bad feelings, and it fuels the excesses on both sides.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's all true. And I really do want to get to the how we can find our way back part of this. I'll go back to the beginning of this interview, Tom, where I said we need a relevant Republican Party. I don't feel we have a relevant Republican Party right now. How do we come back?
Well, I think it's the power of ideas. I mean, I'm seeing, I think of my friend, the late Congressman Jack Kemp, who pushed very hard for ideas related to growing the private sector, getting people back to work, had a real feel for the average American. I make the case in my book for changing our business tax system. We're at an 18% tax disadvantage with our trading competitors. Even Germany, which has a high wage cost and a high social structure cost, has a strong manufacturing sector, but they've got a 19% tax advantage over us. You ship a Cadillac to Germany, you're hit at the border of Germany with a 19% border-adjusted consumption tax. And so trying to sell a Cadillac made in the U.S. against a Mercedes-Benz made in Germany for $50,000, hypothetically, you can't compete because you got to pay the high corporate taxes and pay that border-adjusted consumption tax. So I'm in favor of getting rid of the corporate tax system, but putting in place a revenue-neutral border-adjusted consumption tax, and you could probably do it at the 8 to 9% level, whatever you need to do to get to the right level to raise just as much revenue under the corporate tax system, but all goods and services coming into the U.S. would be taxed at that price. All companies exporting will get a tax credit. It would level the level the playing field with our trading competitors, and also encourages capital investment here in the U.S. because no longer would debt be rewarded, but capital investment would be encouraged under that tax system as long as it's capital investment here in the United States.
And that's the way, folks, listen to what Tom Pawkins said. This is the way he wrote the book. And one of the things I loved about this book, it's a juxtaposition of history. You know, where we're at, where we could be. It's about philosophy and ideology. At the same time, it doesn't surrender to any modern idea of what politics should be, but what it must be. And that's where this worked for me, Tom. That's where this truly worked for me. As I was reading this book, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the history lesson I was getting. And that's where my comment about institutional memory comes in. You know, you reminded me of some things I'd forgotten, and you really did get me thinking. I'm not opposed to ideas that matter, that actually create jobs, that create a dynamic atmosphere for change, because God knows, Tom, now more than ever, especially with some of the stuff, I know you've not listened to the show, but, you know, we've talked today about 16 to 24-year-olds, 6.5 million 16 to 24-year-olds in this country, Tom, either do not have a job or are not attending school.
Yep.
That's a sin.
Well, and also you take four-year college graduates, class of 2011, over 50% are underemployed or unemployed, and they've got on average over $25,000 in non-dischargeable debt. So you've got to figure out a way, both on the skilled worker side and also the college degree side, how do we bring the jobs home to America? And I think this is an idea that really can bring business and labor together. We can change the business tax system. I was up in New Hampshire and met with both business and union leaders up there, and they're open to it. But we got to quit talking past each other. There are going to be issues that we have strong disagreements on, but there's a lot of common ground. I see it. I'm on the Texas Workforce Commission, and my labor commissioner, Ronnie Congleton, he and I disagree on certain business versus labor issues, but on the issue of bringing manufacturing home and on the issue of providing skills training to give opportunity for these young people who are winding up as dropouts or throwaways, we're in full agreement. And those are not partisan issues if we get past the partisanship and try to craft legislation and solutions that work.
Well, you know, the next question is one we don't have time to answer, and that's how do we get there? I do want to make sure, Tom Pawkin, that I thank you for your service to your country and to your state. That certainly you have done a great deal for the cause of freedom and choice, and I couldn't be more grateful for that. I also want to thank you for writing a book that makes sense. Oftentimes, and I would bet the greatest criticism from the right is they don't like how much sense it makes, and I would think that that's probably the same criticism from the left.
Well, I been invited and disinvited twice to go on Fox News. So I think my criticism of Karl Rove and the Charles Krautheimers and the Bill Kristols and the flaws of neoconservatism, the idea you can use preemptive U.S. force to impose democracy in the Middle East, is a flawed one. And the irony is, as I quote in the book, Ronald Reagan said his greatest foreign policy mistake was when he sent the troops into Lebanon, and how complicated that situation is. So we've got to think through these issues very carefully before we send young men and women overseas, because there's always, having served in Vietnam myself, the law of unintended consequences when you send young people off to war.
Tom Paulkin, thank you again. The book, Bringing America Home, we've got it up on the Facebook page. Happy holidays to you and a Merry Christmas, Tom. I'm glad we talked today.
Okay, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still watching that overturned semi that's blocking all lanes on 75 northbound before South Huron River Drive, and traffic is stopped from Newport Road. Now we got heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Outer Drive and the Southfield Freeway. Also on the 96 Service Drive eastbound between 96 and the Southfield Freeway. And more heavy traffic on the Lodge southbound between 7 Mile and Glendale. Heading back over to the Southfield Freeway northbound at Plymouth, accident has your right lane blocked with stop and go traffic from Ford Road. And staying on the Southfield Freeway southbound just after Plymouth, we got another accident that's blocking your right shoulder. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 58 with showers scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, sunny and 37, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here.